A husband said to his wife, "I slept like a log last night." And she said, "I know, I heard the sawmill." A husband and wife were standing at a wishing well, and pretty soon she fell in. And he said, "I didn't know those things worked." A wife woke up one morning and said, "I dreamed you gave me $300 to buy new clothes. Now you wouldn't spoil my nice dream, would you?" He said, "No, just keep the $300. No. Now, we're talking about personal relationships. Marriages, families, jobs, friendships. When you think about it, personal relationships may be the most important matter in our life. And as we meet here this morning, I propose that our personal relationships are either killing us or helping us. In marriage, we sometimes think that things will take care of us, and they don't. With parents and children and young people living together, we sometimes think it's where we live or how much we have that will do the job for us, but it doesn't. Sometimes friends depend on activities to make their friendship work, but that doesn't do it. With jobs and careers, we think that the success there will solve our problems, but they don't do it. People who have everything that money can buy can be very miserable. And people whom we look at as successful can be very miserable people because their relationships are killing them. They can be unhappy and lonely and feel rejected, full of self-pity and bitterness and hate because of personal relationships. Our personal relationships are either killing us or helping us. We want to consider this morning what kills relationships and what helps relationships. Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? And we'll begin reading at verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And we read, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Another passage for review is James chapter 3. Let's turn to that. The third chapter of James. And we read in James 3, verse 1. "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Let's consider, first of all, what kills our relationships, and think about marriage for a while. Let me begin by reading from an article. And this morning I want to do some reading from articles as illustrations and examples, because I know most of you so very well and have counseled with you personally, and I wouldn't want you to think I'm using you as an example. That is, directly. So, you get the picture? Okay, so I'm going to read what happens to other people. A husband is talking, and he said, "I watched in amazement as my wife and three children began to eat their sandwiches and drink their Cokes while I sat only a couple of feet away without a bite to eat. Why didn't she make me a sandwich?" I asked myself. If I'm the sole breadwinner and I'm being ignored as if I didn't exist, I cleared my throat loudly so she would get my attention. And when that didn't work, I became so irritated, I walked into the kitchen, got the bread out, and made my own sandwich. When I sat back down in front of the TV, Norma didn't say a word, nor did I. But I kept wondering, if women are so sensitive, how come she didn't know I wanted a sandwich? If women are so alert, why didn't she hear me clear my throat or notice that I wasn't speaking to her? Why didn't she notice the expression of irritation on my face? A few days later, when we were talking, I said, "I've really been wondering about something, but I hesitate asking you this question. I was intrigued the other day and wonder if I could ask you this personal question," and by now I had aroused her curiosity. "Sure," she said. "You know, last Saturday when I was watching the football game and you made sandwiches for all the kids, could I ask you why you didn't make one for me?" She said, "Are you serious?" She looked at me with such amazement that it really confused me. "Sure I'm serious. I would think that since I'm the one who earns all the money for food around here, you would have made me something to eat too." She said, "You know, I really can't believe that you would even ask a question like that." And by now I was thinking, maybe I shouldn't have asked. Maybe I should know the answer. It seemed very obvious to her, but it didn't seem obvious to me at all. "Norma, I really don't see it. I admit I'm blind in some areas, and I can see this is one of them. Would you mind telling me?" She said, "Sometimes women are accused of being stupid, but we aren't. We just don't set ourselves up to be criticized." She seemed to think that that explained why she hadn't made me a sandwich. "I can understand that, but what does that have to do with sandwiches?" She said, "Do you realize that every time I make you a sandwich, you say something critical about it? Norma, you didn't give me enough lettuce. Is this avocado ripe? you put too much mayonnaise on this. How about some butter? Well, it's a little dry. Maybe you've never realized it, but you have a critical statement for every sandwich I've ever made. I just wasn't up to being criticized the other day. It wasn't worth it. I don't enjoy being criticized. I had egg all over my face because I could recall all the times I had criticized her as she handed me sandwiches. I was simply eating the fruit of my ways. I sowed criticism and reaped an empty plate. I'm happy to say that after that experience, I began praising every sandwich she made for me. And now she gladly makes them for me. Anybody relate? No. When I read this, I thought of what I do. And that is check on the meat to see if it's spoiled or not. When I was a child, we had ptomaine poisoning in our home. And I can remember our country doctor being in our home at midnight trying to take care of us because we had had some spoiled meat. And we didn't have a refrigerator. We just had an icebox, so that was easy to do. So I have this phobia about that. And many times I'll ask Faye, well, are you sure this is good? Or how long have we had this? Or so on. And so I join with this fellow here. But if it isn't sandwiches, it can be a lot of things, can't it? What do husbands criticize wives about? I know a husband who's very critical about the way the wife washes the dishes. And that clod even goes in and does it over. And that doesn't do very well. Or cleaning the house. Or whatever it is, or clothing. One day, Adam said to Eve, I think you ought to take more care about your appearance. She said, well, I've been thinking of turning over a new leaf. Things like that happen with us. Husbands can be critical of wives as a mother when they take care of the children. Or driving the car. One time a wife came in and said, I can't get the car started. He says, what's the matter? She says, it's flooded. He said, well, where is it? She says, in the swimming pool. Oh. How we spend money, how a wife spends money. Hair, qualities, name calling. You just go through the list of critical husbands killing a marriage. It kills a marriage. Let me say to you wives, if your husband is critical of you, you need to sit down and look him in the eye and say to him, I did not marry you to be the brunt of your critical spirit. And I did not marry you to be the object of your criticism. If you keep it up, you'll kill me. You'll kill our marriage. You'll kill our family. You'll kill our life. I'm hurting. I'm discouraged. I'm losing enthusiasm for being around you. Criticism is a killer. Wives are critical of husbands about these similar kind of things. Probably a thing that wives are critical about are manners, the way we eat. Maybe we slurp our soup a little bit. Smack our lips. Wipe our face with our shirt sleeve. Some husbands even burp to show appreciation for the meal and get criticized for it. or job or clothing. Same, driving. Clothing doesn't match, you know. Plaid pants and striped shirt. And dirty shoes. Coming in the house with dirty shoes. You haven't fixed the faucet in 6 months. Whatever. You get the idea. Husband, if you have a critical wife, you need to sit down with her, look her in the eye, and say, I did not marry you to be the brunt of your critical spirit. I did not marry you to be the object of your criticism. I'm hurting. I'm losing my desire to be around you. If you keep this up, you'll kill our marriage and you'll kill our family. It's no fun. Now, in addition to what we do personally, there is the terrible thing that happens publicly. Being together publicly and having a wife criticize a husband or a husband criticize a wife is quick murder. It kills the relationship quickly. And do you know that this even happens in Bible studies? I've just cringed when I see this happening, that even in the context of Christian love and the warmth with the Bible open and talking about the Lord, the discussion can become critical, where a husband chops up his wife or a wife chops up her husband publicly. It just doesn't work. And some people seem to get their thrills out of humiliating their wife or husband publicly. Criticism is the killer. Don't allow it. Don't do it. It's cruel. It's ungodly. And in the text that we read this morning from Ephesians, we are right in interpreting that passage to say that the grieving of the Holy Spirit comes from unwholesome talk that comes out of our mouth. I used to think that that passage meant only cursing, only obscenity. But I believe it's far more than that. I believe it's unwholesome talk about each other. I believe it's criticism that comes out of our mouth that grieves the Holy Spirit. Here's another case. Shortly after Marilyn left Bob, I asked her if she could recall things for which Bob had praised her. She couldn't remember a single time during their 20-plus years of marriage. Her children confirmed it. They agreed that their mother had never served a single dinner that their father didn't criticize in at least one way. He had complained when the salt and pepper weren't on the table or where she didn't cook the meat just right. She finally reached the point where she didn't even want to be near his critical personality. She left him for another man. He said, I'm kind of happy she's leaving me because she never wants to do anything with me anyway. She's a party pooper and a loner. She excludes me from her activities. Do you know she never wanted to go with me on a vacation? I've tried and tried, but she never wants to, and I'm disgusted with her, too. We didn't discuss his marital problems until after he had told me about his job change due to friction with his former boss. How did he treat you, Bob? I asked. Well, he'd come out to the shop where I was foreman, and he'd look for one little thing to yell at me about in front of all my men, and that hurt me deeply. Then he would go back to his office and I'd continue working my fingers to the bone. He'd never notice how hard I worked or even say anything positive about it. I couldn't take it anymore, so I asked for a transfer. I asked Bob, would you take a vacation with your boss? He said, are you kidding? That would be the worst thing in the world. How about doing other activities with him? I asked. When he said no, I pointed out how, as a husband, he was just like his boss. His face dropped, and tears came to his eyes. He said, you're right. No wonder Marilyn never wanted to go anywhere with me. I never think about things she does to please me, and I'm always criticizing her in front of the children and our friends. But it was too late. Marilyn had already gone with another man. And though Bob changed drastically and is now much more sensitive, his wife divorced him and remarried. Criticism is a killer. It's selfish and cruel. Not only in marriage, but in family life. Parents to children. One of the most damaging effects on people is living in a critical atmosphere as a child. When children hear the father criticizing their mother, they resent that. That's my mother you're talking about. When children hear a mother criticizing their father, it hurts them. That's my father you're talking about. Sometimes they never get over that. And hearing the parents criticize each other hurts them. It hurts them to be criticized personally, to be called stupid and dumb, be put down. They have the sense they can never please their parents, and they listen to scolding forever, and that's all they hear. It's very damaging. I work with people all the time and have several right now who are adults in their 40s and 50s. Who have never gotten over this kind of atmosphere, living with parents who criticize them continually, who still hold an emotional control over those people, even though they are adults. It's a killer. It kills a life. It kills a family. Now you can turn that around and listen to young people who continually criticize their parents. That kills the relationship. For their own evil life, they blame their parents. That's wrong. It's a killer. You think of work relationships. And one of the most difficult things about working is that we work with other people. And you know, I can't remember anyone who's ever come to me and say, "Bill, I just can't do my job." But I've had many people come and say, "Bill, I can't work there anymore because of the people I'm working with. The relationships on that job are killing me. I can't take the criticism of the person who's over me or around me." Employer to employee is a killer. Employee toward employer is a killer. You can't do a good job. You can't do your best if you go to work every day with a critical spirit. And you can't do right when you dread going to work. And I know that's because of the relationships on that job, the people you work with, the criticism that takes place. Criticism is a killer of friendships. You cannot exist in friendship with a critical spirit. That isn't friendly at all. It's not a real friendship. It's not a good relationship. And no amount of having fun can overcome the critical spirit that takes place. What kills a relationship? It's criticism. Family, marriage, friendship, and on the job. And certainly can in church life. Criticism kills the body of Christ. Well, if that's true, then what helps a relationship? The opposite of criticism would be praise. But I want to suggest to you that praise requires something first, and that would be love. What helps a relationship is love. I want to talk about that for a little bit, maybe from a little different way. Let me begin by reading again. When the young couple came in for their counseling appointment, the husband said he wasn't sure why. His wife, however, had no trouble summing up the problem. She said, "It's like we're roommates in the same house. We don't argue, we don't fight, but there's no real emotional warmth between us." A look of astonishment crossed her husband's face before he turned back to me. "I don't understand her. I take her out to dinner at least twice a week. I get her flowers for every special occasion. I send her cards for no reason at all. I even call her from the office just to let her tell her I love her. I don't understand. If most wives had a husband who expressed love as often as I do, they'd be satisfied. There must be something wrong with her emotionally." Well, there's nothing wrong with her emotionally. It's simply that we perceive the expression of love in different ways. Well, let me explain that. Some of us perceive love through talking, visiting, with attention toward each other. Wives, particularly, women would particularly perceive this as love. If he would only talk to me. Hundreds and thousands of wives cannot get their husbands to talk. And talk about real things. Talk about life. Talk about us. Talk about our relationship. Not just golf. Or the Lakers losing the third game to Boston. Or no booze? No? Okay. By the way, you'll make the game this morning, okay? Some people perceive love through giving, gift giving. He or she was thinking of me, and there was something creative there and thoughtful. Some people perceive love that way. Some through serving, doing something for the other person, whether it's washing the car, washing the dishes, fixing the faucet, mending the socks, or ironing a shirt, or whatever that is. Some people perceive love by a time together, taking a walk, an activity together, a dinner together. Some perceive love through the physical touch, from holding hands through the consummation of physical love. And we can have differing views of that and perceive love in a different way. Let me read another example. Here is one wife who talked about that to say, or the husband who said, I remember one husband who bought a $900 pearl necklace for his wife's birthday. And when she opened it, she said, "Oh, that's nice," and opened the next gift. And later that evening, she said to her husband, "Sometimes I feel you don't even love me." Obviously, the husband was bewildered and angry, and he said, "If someone had given me a $900 gift, I would have been ecstatic. What's the matter with this woman anyway?" "Nothing, except that her primary love wasn't gifts." And as we talked, it became clear that acts of service expressed love to her. Inside, he was saying, "If he loved me, he would fix that garden for me." And the thought had never crossed his mind. See, different concepts. In another more common example, the husband's love language was physical touch. And the sexual part of marriage made him feel the most loved. His wife wasn't responsive physically. It wasn't long till he felt unloved, but if he'd said to her, "I feel you don't love me," she would have said, "Don't love you. I cook your meals, wash your clothes, iron your shirts, and you say I don't love you. What do you think that is?" And she would have been very sincere, but her concept of love was different than hers. So now, what do you do since this is true? How do we live together? We must love each other in the way the other person needs it, and not cling just to the way we want to do it. That's selfishness, and that's pride. Not my way, but your way. And if you need me to fix the faucet, well, you keep mowing the lawn, I'll take care of the faucets. We need to love each other the way the other person needs to be loved. That's real love. That's surrender. That's giving. Not just my way, your way. Do you have some poor relationships? How's the marriage? How's the job? How are your friendships? How's your family life? Are you hurting or helping? If you're being critical, you're killing everybody around you. If you will love in the way the other person needs to be loved, you'll be helping. Our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ enables us to stop being critical and start loving as we should love. And it is through trusting Him we will love, and we will stop being critical. We'll be helpers and not killers. It's time we respond to God to build our relationships.